Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage shows that the Gentiles that believed the gospel that Peter preached were saved and Spirit-filled before they were baptized in water. This poses a huge problem for those who teach regeneration by water baptism. God saves people because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and because of His grace, not because of any works of righteousness that we have done. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 10 and follow along as Pastor Ray Viola completes his message on verses 34 through 38.
In Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul says pretty much the same thing in verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Seven times in the New Testament, we find the phrase, whosoever believeth. Whosoever believeth. But notice carefully, saints, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. It's not just whosoever believes in God. The Bible tells us in the book of James, even the devil believes in God. There's a lot of people who believe in God. Every world religion, to some degree, believes in God. Every world religion has some kind of a view of Jesus Christ. He's a great teacher. Yes. He's a prophet. Yes. And they have many wonderful things to say about him. But the test of whether or not you're believing in the real Jesus is the one you're believing in, the Jesus according to Scripture. King of kings, Lord of lords, born of a virgin, the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, the one who declared in the Gospel of John, I am, before Abraham was, I am. You see, in this day of identity theft, there's a lot of people that are guilty of identity theft when it comes to who the real Jesus is. Whosoever believes in him will receive forgiveness of sin. That he's the Son of God, that he's the Son of Man, that he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That he's the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament pictures and types. That's the Jesus that saves. Not the Jesus of any other religion or faith, the Jesus of Scripture. Whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins, dismissal of sins. He sends our sins away. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. When you share the gospel with people, do you ever mention the word sin? You should, because you know who needs a savior? Sinners. And then if you ask the question, how do you think your sins are forgiven? Well, some people say, I don't believe I'm a sinner. Well, you pray. Or they may say, well, I know my sins are forgiven. I'm a good person. I'm a good guy. I'm a good gal. I donate time to helping people that are hurting. And that's all wonderful. I give to the church. Cornelius did all of that stuff, and he and his household were not saved. How do you know your sins are forgiven? I'll tell you. Well, the Scriptures will tell you. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's why you're forgiven, for Christ's sake. Oh, by the way, I love that verse. Be kind one to another. Try being kind today. Okay? Make it a deliberate purpose of yours to be kind. Your family will love it. Your spouse will love it. Your neighbors will love it. Be kind to the clerk. I feel so bad for them. People are so impatient. Or to the waiter, to the waitress. Be kind. Can you do that? You're scaring me. Be kind. Tender-hearted. What's the opposite of tender-hearted? Hard-hearted. I know it all. That's none of you. That was the people that came to the first service. But then he says, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Why are your sins forgiven? That's how Paul declared it, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle John put it this way, 1 John 2:12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake, only because of him. Our forgiveness is not the result of anything we have done or not done. It's all because of who Jesus Christ is. Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. It's all because of what Christ has done for us. He's the perfect sacrifice for sin. He's the perfect high priest. His perfection has purchased our salvation. So, if Peter is a typical preacher, he's probably got a whole lot to say to these individuals. So right after he says that he was commanded to preach and to testify that it was Jesus that was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that believed. Can you imagine being there? All right, there you are. You've got this house full of these Gentiles. Right. Of course, mostly Italians. I was told by a couple of Cuban brothers, the Cubans were there too. So let's just say that the Gentile nations are represented. Peter starts preaching. He's probably ready to get to point number two. And he goes, now point number two is the Holy Spirit falls upon them that believe. Now Peter and these other six Jewish believers were there. And all of a sudden, they're brought back to where? Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. We say, wow, it's happening again. God is doing to them what he did for us. But Jesus told us that when the gospel would be preached at the end of Mark chapter 16, that there would be signs following the preaching of the word. And one of the signs would be that people would be speaking with new tongues. Verse 45 says, the circumcision, they were astonished. They were astonished because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Couple things here. There was no how to speak in tongues classes. Peter says, I'm going to give you, he didn't say, I'm going to give you a message now. Say this after me. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, O, P. Nothing like that. They began to speak in tongues, but here's the amazing thing. They were astonished. You know why? Because they heard them speaking in their tongue, glossa, their language, the mighty works of God. So now they're hearing this group of Gentiles speaking in either Hebrew or Aramaic, the wonderful works of God. They hear them praising in their natural language. They're astonished. One thing is for sure, that once a person is saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, he or she will be a worshiper of God. They began to magnify God. They began to hear them praising God. Now, that was astonishing. But what was even more astonishing was that there were a group of Jews known as the Judaizers who were preaching that an individual had to believe in Jesus and be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. What's happening here? They're saved, speaking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, they're saying, who told us that they had to become Jews first in order to be saved? They're saved. They're astonished. Powerful. Just like on the day of Pentecost. They heard them speak in tongues, the wonderful works of God. Now, they did not need the gift of interpretation, like we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when the Bible talks about a language of tongues, because with that language, they're speaking a mystery and you need a gift of interpretation. They didn't need to be gifted with an interpretation. They were just Hebrews and Jews who heard them speak in their language. You see, you have to see the distinction here. That's kind of like I told you when I went to Peru last year. What a glorious experience that was. After one of the worship services, I'm back near the soundboard, and all of a sudden, after the worship service, some people in front of me turn around and go, "Pastor Ray, it was so wonderful to hear you worshiping God in Spanish tonight." I says, "Oh, thank you." Now, I was... They did, so... Didn't hit me. See, I'm a quick learner. About 2 hours later, I'm in my room and I go, "What just happened?" It was like Pentecost. I was worshiping in Spanish. That's how they heard it. Wonderful, wonderful. I didn't take Spanish classes. Just worshiped. So then Peter says, okay, now look it. He says, can any man, he didn't say, now look it. He says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, J. Vernon McGee wrote this. The book of Acts records three representative conversions. The Ethiopian eunuch was a son of Ham. Saul of Tarsus was a son of Shem. Cornelius was a son of Japheth. In each instance, the Holy Spirit moved using a man of God and the Word of God. Now, have any of you ever heard the doctrine of baptismal regeneration? You must be baptized in water to be saved. Well, they have some problems with what's going on here, don't they? Peter preaches the gospel. The Holy Spirit is poured out. They're speaking in tongues, so they're saved, they're spirit-filled. And then Peter says, let's baptize them. Now, baptism is important, and I believe that everyone who is saved should be water baptized to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not required for salvation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." And so now these Gentiles are soundly saved. They're believing on the Jesus of the Bible. It's so important that we believe what the Word of God declares, all that the Scriptures declare. Remember when Jesus said to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? He says, it is important that you believe all that is written in the Word of God and in the prophets. It's so important that you and I know who Jesus is. When Jesus was on earth, he's doing these signs and wonders and miracles. And then he takes his apostles up to the area of Caesarea Philippi. And he says, okay, who do they say that I am? Remember? And some said, you're this, you're that. And then Peter opens his mouth like only Peter could. And he got it right, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, flesh and blood is not this revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And upon this rock, not Peter. Peter's not the rock. Upon this rock, Christ is the rock. I will build my church. And so now you've got these Gentiles who are saved. They're spirit-filled. But don't miss the last part of verse 48. They asked him to tarry with them certain days. Now, may I suggest to you that what's happening here is this. Peter is a man that God had anointed with the Holy Ghost. He had been with Jesus. He shares the gospel with them. They're saved. And now you know what they're asking, Peter? Can you stay around for a little while? Can you begin to tell us what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it means to walk with him? And I believe that that is exactly what's happening here. We don't know how long those certain days were, But now Peter's in the fellowship of these Gentiles, and I have no doubt that he is beginning to teach them the things of God, how to follow Christ as the Messiah. And he's teaching them now the importance of being together, gathering together in Christ in fellowship. I personally believe that two genuine evidences of being born again. Well, I mentioned one earlier. You're going to be a worshiper of God, right? You get saved and you're going to start praising God. You're going to start singing a new song. You're just going to be worshiping God in your car. You're going on a bike ride, wherever you're cooking, doing all of these things. You're at a stoplight. You go, praise God to whom all blessings flow. And then everybody looks at you like you're crazy when the car next to you is, you know. You're just going to be a worshiper. I live with one. I've told you that. I don't need Pandora. I have Elizabeth. Out comes a worship song. Morning, noon, night, worship. It's in you. Jesus said to the woman at the well, the Father is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. You don't need to be prodded. You don't need to be cheerleaded. You're just going to want to worship him. When you know who he is, you're going to want to worship him and lift your hands and praise him and adore him and acknowledge him. Don't you? Don't you? 20 of you do. That's great. That's wonderful. That's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. And so that's an evidence. Two evidences of being born again is A, you're going to hunger and thirst for God's word, and you're going to want to be around God's people. When a baby is born, you give the child to mama because it's from mama's breast that that newborn babe is receiving the nutrition that he or she needs. Peter says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. One of the evidences of being born again is that you will begin to hunger and thirst for God's word. God will give you an appetite for his word, and it will never diminish. It will just grow and grow and grow. Not to read just investigatively, not to read just intellectually, because the word of God is the life of God. It breathes heaven into your soul. It gives you and I the ability to see things from God's perspective and not man's perspective. You hunger for God's word, and then you hunger to be with the people of God. I look forward to seeing you guys every single Sunday. I can't wait till you guys come in. I stand in the back room and I watch cars pull and go, oh, they look so cute. They look so wonderful. Oh God, oh look at them. They're so, yeah. You know, the amazing thing is that God, we drive one another crazy, but we need one another. Right? That's how we grow. Now, COVID was horrible. But I think that there's a lot of people post-COVID that need to get over it. Okay? You need to get over it. It's one thing if you have some immunity system or physical reason why you can't be in fellowship with believers. That's one thing. But if you can go to a grocery store, if you can go to a ball game, if you can go to the Lilac Festival, if you can go shopping, but you can't come to church, you need to be in fellowship. My elbow and said, I can't say, I don't need the arm. I don't need the eye. You know, you need to be in fellowship. We need to be in fellowship. Look at all of those one another's in the Bible. Forgive one another. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for one another. Exhort one another. Confess your faults one to one another. All of these one another's we are to be doing, and so much more as the day of Christ's return approaches. So much more. We need this. I'm not just talking because I want to make sure every green chair is full. I'm talking on behalf of every pastor. And if he won't tell you, I'll tell you for him because he tells me those things. Where are they? What are they doing? Why aren't they here? Well, this is good. It's good. It's necessary. Jesus is our example, right? In everything. okay? And I've said this before. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, the chapter that I mentioned earlier about when Jesus took the scroll, it says he went into the synagogue as was his custom. Wait a minute. He went to church? Why didn't you stay home and watch online? What is he going to be taught? Imagine the rabbi of that synagogue. Well, this word means in Hebrew. Yeah, I know what it means. And I'm not saying this, guys, to try to beat you up over the head. I'm telling you because I love you. You need, I need, we need fellowship. We need the accountability. And this much I do know. You know who wolves will chew up? People who are isolated from the fold of God. It's one thing, and it's beautiful, to gather together with people and sing in the park and worship and then have a picnic and do all of those things. It's a great thing to have coffee with brothers and sisters, but this is what God has ordained for us to do. They met daily and from house to house, in the temple and from house to house. So we need to do this. Jesus is our example. Please, please. Guys, when you're missing, something is missing. Okay, so what happened on the day of Pentecost? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread and prayers. That's the same thing that's happening here. This is Peter. Would you stay around? Why? We want to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. We want to know how from the Word of God, how from the truth of God, how we can worship, how we can fellowship, how we can break bread. You see, it's all doctrine is vitally important. Don't let anybody of you ever tell you that doctrine is not important. It is vitally important. It's one of the reasons for Scripture, for doctrine. But it's from the doctrine that we learn how to fellowship in a kingdom way, how to break bread and all of these other things, how to witness in the kingdom way. And that's what's going on here. John the Apostle put it this way in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. What? He's teaching them. That which we have seen, Jesus, that which we have heard, we're declaring. So John, at the end of the first century, is telling a gathering of saints to whom 1 John and 2 John and 3 John were written, hey, that which we've declared unto you, so that you may have fellowship with us. Doctrine gives way to fellowship, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Tim Keller, who is now in heaven, says this, the glory of God is available to you in the church in a way it's not available to you anywhere else. There is no more important means of discipleship than deep involvement in the life of the church. We need this. The church devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, communion, prayer, and they did it steadfastly. And one pastor says, unfortunately, steadfastness is not a characteristic of much of the church today. And so here we have Gentile Pentecost. Amen. 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 And you know, the things that Jesus did is what he still does today. Amen. Every one of you came in here today with needs, but I can tell you what, your greatest need is to have forgiveness of sin. That's your greatest need. It's greater than any physical need you have, any other need you have. And that's not to make light of that. We want to pray with you. But your greatest need is to have your sins forgiven, to know your sins forgiven. And that is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's your greatest need. When they brought Jesus, the man sick of the palsy, the prayer request, please pray for him. He can't walk. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. They probably thought, well, you got the request wrong. No, you made the wrong request. The first important thing is that his sins, to know that his sins are forgiven. You can know your sins are forgiven today. If you'll trust in Christ. Amen.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.